All right. Is cloning okay? Is it okay to clone animals only or humans? How about that switch? All right. So here's cloning. Now, this may come as a surprise. The Bible does not address cloning directly. No one was cloning in the year 6000 BC or the year 100 AD. And so we're going to have to apply some principles. But there are three types of cloning that we're going to share with you. Molecular, which is multiple molecules coming together. That's primarily in DNA. There's cellular, which is the population of cells from single cells. You can know that as tissue. Or there's organism cloning. It was creating a new multicellular organism. All right, so progressive complexity. Here's the history of cloning. The first clone animal was created by Hans Dresch in the late 1800s. 1951, a team of scientists in Philadelphia cloned a frog embryo. In 1996, Dolly the sheep was the first adult cell animal cloned. Now, for everybody over 18, we all remember that, because when Dolly the sheep got cloned, there were t-shirts, there was news coverage, it was a big deal. All right, now here's the deal with Dolly the clone. They tried 277 times before they got it right. In 1997, 50 mice were cloned by the Honolulu technique. All right, so there's 50 mice. They had a 50-to-1 success rate. So 250 or 2,500 mice didn't make it. And then currently, a couple is paying $2.3 million to have their dog cloned. So that's just kind of where cloning has gone thus far. And so knowing what cloning is, we can start to address a couple of those questions. So let's start first with animals. Is it okay to clone animals? Open up to Genesis 1, 26 to 31, pages 1 and 2. If you don't know where Genesis 1 is, it's the first page in the Bible. But Genesis 1, 26, we're going to read 5 verses. It'll be a good way for us to frame cloning animals. All right, so Genesis 1, 26 says this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness." Here's the key for us. "Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it." Again, here's a key point for us. "Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed and its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the field, and every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, and everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening and morning, the sixth day. Genesis 2:15 goes on to say, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it." And so when we talk about men and animals, men and the earth, what this is known as stewardship. And so what God gave to man and to woman was the task of maintaining the planet. And so mankind, as representatives of God on the earth, we're given the ways that we interact with humanity, and that's known as us being stewards. It's God giving us something and then us being responsible for that. A popular stewardship passage that I'm not going to read simply for the sake of time is Luke 19. We'll put it on the screen for you so you can know that I'm summarizing, but I'm not going word for word. What Jesus says is that he gives to these people and he says, "Hey, I'm going to give you these tasks. I'm going to give you these things, and I'm going to go away for a while. And while I'm away, you take care of it." And so Jesus in Luke 19, and then you can go to the next section, Tanner, in verses 20 to 27. And so when he starts to say it, when he comes back, God, even in all these passages of stewardship, says, "As I've given you these things, how are you doing with it?" And so we have this "engage in business until I come" as our mandate for how we handle everything on the earth. And so when it comes to animals, there are really two popular opinions about cloning that we get from all of those passages. The first opinion is this, that as stewards of God's creation and those who have dominion over it, it is completely reasonable and responsible for us to clone plants and animals for our sake. That because we're responsible for them, we're in charge of them, we're over them, that it's completely reasonable and responsible of us to clone them. The second opinion would be, as stewards of God's creation and those who have dominion over it, we should not look to cloning to solve the problem facing us, whether that be hunger, famine, or whatever, but instead we should work on stewardship principles. So if we're getting hungry, instead of making more animals, we should probably look at how we're eating. Or instead of saying, "Man, we're running out of trees, let's just clone more trees because we've cut them all down." we should probably stop cutting down trees. And so those are the two opinions about animals. Before we get into a panel of that, because that could kind of stalemate on animals, we're going to do humans also, cover the whole deal. All right, so now is it okay to clone humans? Now, again, cloning is not covered in the Bible. So therefore, we've got to go to principles. We'll throw Genesis 1, 26 and 28. This is God saying, let us make man in our image. We already read that, so just trust me, it said it. Psalm 71, 6 says, upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. Psalm 139, 13 to 16 says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Praise you from fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Isaiah 44, 24, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. Jeremiah 1, 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. Luke 12, 7, why even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, you are more valuable than sparrows. Galatians 1, 15, which isn't Galatians 1, 15. Read Galatians 1, 15 later. We didn't copy and paste well. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, even as he chose you in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Humanity and all people are formed in the image of God. Each person is formed in the image of God. So even when you look around the room covered in paint, every person is a unique representation of the image of God. And so as that, there are two responses to human cloning that are very popular opinions. To clone humans is legitimate because it is not taking the place of the reproductive process, and therefore each clone does not have a soul like its human genetic template. And so I just want to explain that. Because it's not the reproductive process of a man and a woman making a baby, to clone someone, they don't have a soul, they're simply a clone. That's an opinion. It is not a popular one. The second is to clone humans is illegitimate and sinful because it's taking the place of God in the creative process and superseding or coming above and beyond God in how he intended us to be fruitful and multiply to proceed. And so God's intent in being fruitful and multiplying was not us going Star Wars on it. So those are the opinions. Now here's the panel. We'll throw it to it. Now I'm going to go to Dr. Jake first because he did some study in medical ethics. He's a doctor. If anyone's got good opinions, I'd say a medical doctor would be qualified. Dr. Jake in the house.
Well, first, let me help you understand what is happening whenever, let's say, an animal gets cloned. Okay, so we will pick out a beagle. Okay, it's going to be our animal to be cloned. So say that your family dog is a beagle, you love the dog, you just can't imagine not having the dog. So then you want to look into some ways of cloning that dog. So what you would actually need to do is you would probably need to get another beagle, let's say a female beagle dog. You would need to then harvest some unfertilized eggs from that dog. And then a scientist would need to kind of pipette out the nucleus and the part of the cells that contains all the genetic information for that egg. So then you basically got an egg with no information in it, but still the capacity of, you know, if it was fertilized, kind of producing and replicating and so on. And then you would need to harvest cells from the beagle that you want to clone, and then basically get out the genetic content and put it in close proximity to the unfertilized egg. And then you apply an electric shock, which then kind of helps them kind of meld together. And when that happens, you've got 23 pairs of chromosomes in that egg that has now become filled with this genetic material. And then through time, you're going to basically let that develop in a petri dish, and it's going to begin to divide and divide and divide and become tissue and then become, you know, potentially a little baby beagle that could be born. Now, you would first probably let it grow a little bit in the petri dish, and then you would need to inject it or put it into the uterus of another animal to let it grow and be born. So that's kind of like the science behind like how that happens. I think the next point I'd want to make is just when we think about cloning, you know, one question I have is just why? What's the benefit? What is the end goal we have with cloning. So let's say, you know, well, if we can clone this really big cow we have over here, well, then all of our hunger needs are going to be met because we're going to have all this grade A beef, you know, in our country. Well, the more I learn about nutrition, the more I want it to be as natural and untouched as possible, okay? I don't want to eat chicken that's got even hormones injected into it or a ton of antibiotics given to it while it's being raised from a little hatchling up to a chicken at 49 days when it's harvested and killed. So I'm really learning more about this and becoming more on board with organic as much as possible, just trying to keep things as natural and healthy as we can. I can't even imagine buying cloned meat from the store, and a lot of people are not on board with that in this country. I mean, I don't know really anybody that would want to go out and buy cloned food at this point, okay? So that's one thing. Why would we put so much money, time, investment, manpower, brain power into figuring out cloning just for the purpose of being able to clone? You know, so that's one problem. What about another reason? Well, because I just love this particular child so much, or this particular animal so much, you know? I mean, is that right to then just want to harvest, you know, cells from that and go through this process to then clone them and then thinking it's going to be just exactly the same because the genetic makeup is exactly identical? I don't like that concept personally, and I just, you know, I think that you should think about the why behind it. That's important when you're talking about that. And certainly whenever you talk about an animal versus a human, I mean, you know, cloning humans, need to be extremely cautious even giving any kind of credence to that. I think that's very, I will say that there's one thing that there are going to be proponents out there that will, if you can follow this argument, they're going to say, I would like to clone myself so that then I can have another woman, let's say, reproduce a baby that's got my genetic makeup. Or maybe even before they get implanted into another woman, let's say that you just clone yourself and you still got it in a petri dish and you've got these cells right there. Well, then they may say, harvest the cells and I want those available, frozen, in case I ever need a liver or in case I need a kidney or something else, because those are cells that have my genetic makeup in them, and scientists can then maybe kind of, you know, help them down a path to become a kidney or something. So there are going to be people that are going to say that's one legitimate cause of it, and I would just say it's not necessary. You know, I think that's it's not worth the ethical problems, all the money that goes along with it, and it's not foolproof. I mean, it's very hard to actually make the process work, as was mentioned in the fact that Dolly took 278 attempts to become Dolly. And anyway, so I'll go ahead and stop there and turn it over to other panelists.
Well, the island proved it's a bad idea too. I mean, come on, let's go. Scarlett Johansson and Ewan McGregor, they proved it's a bad call. Do you guys want to go? Good? All right, Dr.